At 39, Stephen Stearns stood in a Florida courtroom accused of unspeakable acts against a 13-year-old he was meant to protect. He wasn't just her mother's boyfriend, he was her stepfather. Authorities say he manipulated his way into a family's life, built trust, then shattered it. In digital evidence prosecutors call horrific, they uncovered images and messages spanning years, leading to charges of sexual battery, possession of child porn, and murder. In a stunning courtroom twist, Stearns took the stand himself. But was he defending his rights or hiding something darker? His move could determine if the worst of his crimes will ever see daylight in front of a jury. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The disappearance of Madeline Soto. Madeline Soto had the kind of smile that made teachers stop mid-lecture. She was bright, shy, and polite. The kind of 13-year-old who still said, please, and thank you. She loved sketching, walking her dog, and baking cupcakes with her mom on weekends. But on the morning of February 26, 2024, that warm, familiar rhythm was shattered. It began like any other school day. At approximately 7:20 a.m., Stephen Stearns, 39, reported dropping Madeleine off at school. He was Jennifer Soto's boyfriend, living with them for nearly 2 years in a quiet apartment complex in Kissimmee, Florida. The arrangement was casual on paper, but in practice, he had long assumed the role of Madeline's stepfather, though without the title or trust. That morning, he said she had exited the car and headed toward the school entrance. But surveillance footage would later reveal a different story. Madeline never walked through the school gates. She had simply vanished. Jennifer grew anxious when her daughter didn't respond to texts. By 3:30 p.m., she was in a panic. School administrators confirmed Madeline had never arrived. Within hours, local police launched a missing person report, and her photo was plastered across digital billboards and community alerts. While the public was just beginning to search, detectives were already uneasy. Something about Stearns's demeanour felt wrong. He didn't seem like a grieving stepfather, more like someone managing a situation. He was calm, too calm. Officers noted that during initial questioning, he never asked how the search was going. Instead, he offered explanations they hadn't yet asked for. Maybe she ran away. She's been moody lately, he said. Maybe she had a boyfriend. Maybe she's hiding out. But Madeline had left behind her phone, her laptop, and her school bag, all found dumped in a nearby apartment complex dumpster 2 days later. And that's when the questions turned deadly serious. The unfolding horror. On March 1st, after 5 agonizing days of searching, police received a tip from a local hiker who had spotted something unusual in a wooded area off Franklin Avenue. What they discovered was harrowing. Madeline Soto's lifeless body, concealed beneath a thin layer of brush and debris. Autopsy reports would later confirm she had been strangled. The scene was staged deliberately, almost obsessively. There were no visible drag marks, no random signs of struggle. Whoever left her there knew how to cover tracks. The focus now narrowed to Stephen Stearns. Investigators subpoenaed his devices, but what they found was worse than expected. His phone had been recently factory reset, but forensic teams were able to extract deleted data, including images and videos of child sexual abuse, many of which dated back to 2022. Among the disturbing evidence were photos taken inside their home, including pictures of Madeline while she was asleep or unaware. When presented with the evidence, Stearns's response was chilling in its detachment. He didn't deny the content. He didn't break down. He simply said, I thought I deleted all that. Digital footprints and disturbing patterns investigators pieced together a timeline. In early 2022, Stephen Stearns began dating Jennifer Soto. He was charming, supportive, and helpful around the house, almost too perfect. He volunteered to pick Madeline up from school, to help with her homework, and even set up parental controls on her devices, but the controls were a cover. He monitored her every move, including browser history, chat logs, and photos. His manipulation was subtle at first, overly involved, always present. Madeline's diary would later reveal growing discomfort. "He stands too close," she wrote once. "He always wants to know what I'm doing." And then there were the texts. Though Madeline had deleted most of her messages, one auto-saved draft on her school tablet painted a terrifying picture. "If I disappear, it's not a runaway. He watches me. I don't feel safe." That message was never sent, but it would become one of the most haunting pieces of evidence in the case. Cracks in the story, under mounting pressure, Stearns continued to claim innocence. He insisted he dropped Madeline off at school, even when shown the school security footage that contradicted his claim. Then he changed his story. "She wanted to go somewhere else that morning," he told investigators. "She said she was meeting someone and not to tell her mom. I didn't think much of it." But GPS data from his 2010 Lincoln MK showed that on the morning of Madeline's disappearance, his car never travelled near the school at all. Instead, it was traced near the wooded area where her body was found, and surveillance footage later captured Stearns at a nearby gas station dumpster, the same one where Madeline's backpack and laptop were discarded. At this point, authorities made their move. On March 7th, 1994, Stephen Stearns was arrested and charged with multiple counts of possession of child pornography, tampering with evidence, and providing false statements. Murder charges had not yet been filed, but prosecutors made clear they were coming. A city holds its breath as news spread. The community was in shock. How could a man who lived under the same roof as Madeline, who laughed at her jokes, who tucked her into bed, be accused of such horror? Parents in Kissimmee demanded answers. Local news outlets swarmed the courthouse, and social workers were brought in to assist at Madeline's school. The sense of betrayal was almost as deep as the grief, but the case was only beginning. And what investigators would uncover next? Digital trails, secret recordings, and a horrifying pattern of premeditated abuse would turn this from a tragic case of child murder into one of the most twisted examples of grooming and deception Florida had ever seen. And Stephen Stearns, he was still sitting in a cell, whispering to anyone who'd listen, "It's all a misunderstanding. I just wanted to protect her." But the evidence told a different story. Chapter 2, The Digital Dungeon. If Chapter 1 revealed a disappearance cloaked in deception, Chapter 2 pulled back the curtain on the true machinery of manipulation. Behind the smiling family portraits and Sunday breakfasts was a carefully constructed digital dungeon. A world where Stephen Stearns didn't just hide his crimes, he curated them. After Stearns's March arrest, detectives seized every piece of digital equipment from the Soto residence: laptops, external drives, old phones, even a smartwatch. It took weeks to crack open the encrypted folders. What they found was not just incriminating, it was calculated evil. Within one folder labelled Math Homework, investigators uncovered over 600 images and 47 videos of explicit child exploitation, some involving Madeline, others likely sourced online. Stearns had gone to extreme lengths to bury these files, hidden in metadata, disguised with file extensions, and buried three folders deep in innocuous directories. But forensic software doesn't lie. What startled detectives most wasn't just the content, it was the timeline. These files weren't old. They were recent, updated, curated. Evidence pointed to years of grooming, starting with suggestive compliments and slowly evolving into emotional manipulation and coercion. In one recovered chat log, he wrote, "You're not like the other girls your age. You're smarter. You understand things. That's why I trust you with our secret." This wasn't a crime of passion. This was psychological warfare executed over months. The surveillance footage that changed everything, March 20th. Prosecutors unveiled their bombshell. They had recovered security camera footage from a small strip mall dumpster, timestamped at 7:35 a.m. on February 26, 2024, the exact morning Stearns claimed to have dropped Madeline off at school. In the footage, Stearns steps out of his Lincoln MK, opens the trunk, removes a purple backpack and a silver laptop, and drops them into the dumpster. He looks around. No panic, no rush, just precision. 2 minutes later, he drives off. In court documents, detectives wrote, "This act directly contradicts the defendant's original timeline and suggests a deliberate effort to destroy evidence." But the most damning revelation came when investigators matched the GPS data from Stearns' vehicle to that very location. It placed him at the woods where Madeline's body was later found, less than 40 minutes after the dumpster stop. Text messages and jail calls. A mind unravelling. Even in custody, Stearns couldn't help himself. Phone calls from the county jail, recorded automatically, captured him speaking to a female contact investigators have yet to publicly identify. His tone was disturbing, self-pitying, not remorseful. "This is all just twisted around. They're painting me like some monster. You know me." In another call, he made a more cryptic remark. "She wasn't supposed to die. It got out of hand. I didn't mean for it to go like that." That statement would become Exhibit A at the murder indictment hearing. Meanwhile, investigators combed through his text history. Though much had been wiped, digital footprints remained. One message from late 2023, sent to a friend, read, "I can't take the mood swings anymore. She's either screaming at me or staring like she knows what I've done." That message referred to Madeline. The suppression battle begins. As prosecutors prepared for a capital murder trial, the defense filed a motion to suppress all digital evidence, arguing that Stearns' consent to the search had been coerced and that his Fourth Amendment rights had been violated. In late April 2025, the suppression hearing began. It was tense, combative and nationally televised. Defense counsel claimed that Stearns had signed the consent form under duress, without a lawyer present, and without understanding the scope of the digital search. They accused law enforcement of technological overreach and likened the case to a digital witch hunt. But the prosecution came armed with audio recordings from the day of consent. In them, Stearns can be heard saying, "You can look through whatever. I've got nothing to hide." The prosecution leaned hard into this. "He wanted us to find nothing," Assistant State Attorney Michelle Granger told the judge. "Instead, we found a playbook for manipulation. This wasn't just digital evidence, it was the blueprint of the crime." The judge did not issue a ruling that day, but the tides were shifting. The death penalty decision. In June 2025, the state of Florida made its decision. They would seek the death penalty. The official notice, filed with the Osceola County Clerk of Courts, cited the following aggravating factors. The victim was a child under 14 years of age. The murder was especially heinous, atrocious, or cruel. The murder occurred during the commission of aggravated child abuse. The defendant was in a position of familial trust. The courtroom gasped when the fourth aggravator was read aloud, because while Stearns was never legally married to Madeline's mother, he had occupied the role of stepfather and had used that position to gain access, trust, and control. The indictment now included premeditated murder, aggravated child abuse, and sexual battery. With each new charge, the picture of Stearns grew darker. and more complete. The community fights back. The Kissimmee community refused to let Madeline's memory become another headline. By July, murals in her honour appeared outside local schools. Parents formed safety coalitions demanding more robust background checks on live-in partners. One mural read, "We protect our children." Jennifer Soto, Madeline's mother, has remained largely silent. Her grief too profound, her silence too deafening. She is not suspected of involvement, but she is suspected of being another victim, one who let a predator into her home, believing she had found a man who cared. A final recording. In the last week of June, prosecutors revealed one more chilling piece of evidence, a home security recording taken just days before Madeline's death. In it, Madeline is seen sitting on the couch, silent, sketchbook in hand. Stearns walks past her, pauses, and says, "Remember what we talked about? You can't tell anyone. No one would believe you." Madeline doesn't respond. She just keeps drawing. The sketch found in her lap was later shown to jurors in pre-trial hearings. It depicts a faceless man with hollow eyes standing beside a girl whose mouth is zipped shut. Chapter 3. The verdict within the courtroom was packed. Journalists, true crime podcasters, victims' advocates and grieving neighbours filled every pew. Even those who had never met Madeline Soto watched with heavy hearts as the trial of Stephen Stearns moved toward its final phase. What had started as a missing person case had become one of the most emotionally charged trials in Florida's history. By July 2025, the prosecution had assembled a devastating case. Every image, every message, every GPS ping, every surveillance frame. But it wasn't just about digital evidence. It was about trust, how a man used it, twisted it, and ultimately destroyed it. The defendant takes the stand. In a stunning legal manoeuvre, Stearns' defence team put him on the stand. It was a risk. A man accused of grooming, raping, and murdering his 13-year-old stepdaughter speaking directly to the jury. That's not standard defence strategy. But they were out of options. The digital evidence had survived the suppression motion. The jury had already seen dozens of images, chat logs, and location data that put him near Madeline's body the morning she vanished. So Stearns did what manipulators do. He played the victim. "I loved that girl," he said, his voice trembling. "I treated her like my own daughter. I don't know how it came to this. She was going through things I didn't understand." He claimed Madeline had grown distant, that she had run away to make a point, that he panicked when he found her lifeless in her room and thought he'd be blamed, so he dumped her body out of fear. But this wasn't a sympathetic jury. They'd heard from forensic pathologists who testified Madeline had ligature marks on her neck and signs of sexual trauma. They'd seen texts in which Stearns called her mature beyond her years and our secret treasure. They'd watched him on surveillance footage, cold and composed, dumping her belongings with no sign of fear or guilt. And when cross-examination came, the prosecution pounced. "You say you panicked," the prosecutor snapped. "But you had the presence of mind to wipe your phone, delete your hard drives, and throw away her backpack in a dumpster you drove 20 minutes out of your way to find." Stearns didn't answer. He looked down, sweating. The jury looked at him like they'd finally seen the monster hiding under the mask. A verdict, a silence. On August 30, 2025, after 5 hours of deliberation, the jury returned, guilty on all counts, first-degree murder, aggravated sexual battery of a minor possession and distribution of child pornography, tampering with evidence abuse. Of a position of familial trust, Stearns sat motionless, no reaction, no tears, just a blank stare. Jennifer Soto, Madeline's mother, was not in the room. She had declined to attend sentencing. A prepared statement was read by her attorney. "I believed in him. I let him into our lives. And that is something I will carry forever. But today, justice was served, and Madeline, my sweet girl, she is free from his control. Outside the courthouse, a candlelight vigil had already begun. Hundreds gathered, holding signs that read, "Her voice matters," and "Never again." Local children released 13 pink balloons, one for every year of Madeline's short life. The sentencing phase, death or life. Under Florida law, the jury had one more duty to decide whether Stephen Stearns should die. The death penalty phase lasted 3 days. The defense pleaded for mercy, childhood trauma, undiagnosed mental illness, the fact that he panicked instead of planned. But the prosecution painted a different picture. This wasn't a momentary lapse. It was 2 years of planning, 2 years of psychological grooming, 2 years of methodical abuse, all culminating in a cold-blooded murder. They reminded the jury of Madeline's diary, her unsent text, and that final sketch. They played Stearns' jail calls again, the one where he said she wasn't supposed to die. And they left the jury with one final thought. He didn't just take her life. He took her voice, her safety, her future. He weaponized trust. And if that doesn't deserve the ultimate sentence, what does? Final judgment on August 7th, 2025. The jury delivered its recommendation. Death by lethal injection. Gasps filled the courtroom. Some cried. Others applauded quietly. Stearns showed no emotion. He simply turned to his attorney and whispered, "They were always going to do this." But for once, the final word didn't belong to him. It belonged to Madeline Soto, memorialized in murals, school scholarships, and the hearts of every family who now watches more closely, who now questions more deeply, who now knows that evil doesn't always come with horns. Sometimes it comes with bedtime stories and friendly smiles. Final reflection. This case is more than a horrific crime. It's a cautionary tale about blind trust, about how predators don't always hide in shadows. They hide in plain sight. They sit at your dinner table. They say, "I love you," before school drop-off. They pretend to protect. So ask yourself, would you have seen the signs? Or would you have believed the man who called himself Dad?